KVI.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the real deal. Ari and Big Mike give you their take on the latest movies. Ready? Lights, camera, action on the Ari Hoffman Show.
I think since I got this show, I've been talking about needing a remake for The Running Man. In fact, I think I've been talking about it since long before I had a show. And it's really kind of entertaining that they actually did it. Now, when I first saw the trailer, I was a little skeptical, but little did I realize how little the original movie actually had to do with the short story. I went into this thing with a bit of an open mind, and I was shocked how much I enjoyed this thing, which is starring Glenn Powell and directed by Edgar Wright. KVI rolled in, as Mike would say, with a deep crew. It was me, it was Mike, it was Zach. It was Mr. KVI himself. Zach had guests. I had guests. A whole bunch of people from KVI won the tickets through our giveaway contest. Lots of KVI people were there, and I had an absolutely great time. I think it exceeded my expectations because it's completely different from the Schwarzenegger thing. Just the basic concepts are the same. And I really, really enjoyed it because as opposed to trying to remake that, they gave me something completely different, which doesn't always work with a remake. Turns out it's closer to the original book. Mike, what'd you think of this?
I loved it. I come at it from a slightly different perspective than you. Like, I was familiar with the book. I knew going in that this movie was going to be less of a remake of the Arnold Schwarzenegger classic, which I like. That movie is still fun as hell. But the book that it's based off of, the Stephen King novel, is bleak. And it doesn't have like all of the satire and the flamboyance and a lot of stuff that both of these movies kind of have in common. So this movie, The Running Man 2025, kind of splits the difference because it takes the bleak novel and the flamboyant movie and kind of meshes them together to where you still have like the social commentary, you have the biting satire, but it's also through this Edgar Wright lens where everything is like stylized and there's quick shots and tricky camera work and great sound design and music choices and things like that. I told the nice lady with the clipboard that it's slick and stylish and it's fast and it's fun. I had a great time with it. I think this kind of cements the beginning of Glenn Powell's career as a leading action star. I think he is now kind of putting himself as kind of that heir apparent role that we kind of knew he was probably flirting with coming out of Top Gun Maverick. But yeah, I really liked it. Like the stunts were really cool. It was awesome. It was entertaining. It's again, it was very, very close to the source material, which I really liked. It does change a few things, but for my perspective, the changes are all for the better, because if you have read the book, you can't end your movie with that ending that the book has, and I'll just leave it there, spoiler free. But no, I really, really enjoyed it. I do think though that it is a movie of two halves. Like, one half is a no-holds-barred, pedal-to-the-metal Edgar Wright movie, and then the other half gets a little saggy and a little too much into less satire, more social commentary leading into the agenda.
So I agree, and just before I turn to Zach, who's joining us from the morning show today, which you can catch every single weekday from 6
Speaking
to 9 a.m.
Speaking of bleak and flamboyant.
So I will say this, is that you can be upset by some of the social commentary, or you could go, this is a fun movie with a little bit of social commentary, and ignore the social commentary, and I recommend you do the latter, because you'll have a better time. Look, I could have blown off Star Trek Strange New Worlds because of one social commentary thing they did or two, but it's a great show. This has a little bit of social commentary. Get over it. Get past it. And just enjoy a fun shoot 'em up movie. Zach, what'd you think?
As our good pal Matt Gilbert exclaimed, probably a little on the loud side in the theater, this is some commie bullcrap.
Yes.
But anyway, I had the unique perspective of, A, having never seen the original, B, not knowing that the original existed. Mm-hmm. I did not know this was a remake until you guys set me straight on that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
So to me, I got to, it's not the first time I've gone to see essentially a remake without seeing the first. That was the case with Naked Gun.
Sure.
And there's a ton of stuff in Naked Gun that it's not super distracting, but I know they're leaning on the earlier films. this didn't feel that way. And I told the nice lady with the clipboard that as well. It wasn't reaching for some sort of nostalgia and trying to capitalize on what was prior.
So that's actually a great point, because here's the thing. I hate when people go into these things thinking a movie's the Bible, the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
Get past it, guys, and just say, go into the movie with open mind and expectations, and you will be satisfied. Don't treat it with the, oh, they destroyed my childhood.
Yeah, and don't... I don't like when I go into a new movie and it's like, oh, well, I'm sure if you've seen the others, this is good. This felt very fresh and a very standalone movie. And I think that holds true in what you were saying, Mike, about the differences. And I agree with everything you said about it feels fast and almost feels too fast. I was surprised. I saw some reviews, some critics on Rotten Tomatoes say that it felt slow. And I thought, I think we're watching different movies.
Yeah, that's a different movie, man.
Because that's kind of my beef with it, is that they seemed it was almost like a happy birthday card. And it was like, happy birthday, and then it got really small because I think they were confused on, do we want to package this all into one movie, or are we going to try for a sequel? And then they made the first part of the movie, and then in the last bit, they try to cram a bunch in and then go, you know what? We'll just flip it to the other side of this birthday card and we'll come up with a sequel.
I'll also say, to compare it to something else in the same genre, The Hunger Games. Mm-hmm. The Hunger Games feel like quick movies. And that was actually one of my biggest digs on them. It doesn't feel like they're in that arena for months or weeks or whatever it's supposed to be in there. This... you get a sense of the, to quote Kamala Harris, the passage of time. You get a little sense of that in this thing.
Yeah.
And I think it works up until the end, where I think you're 100% right, Zach, where they go, wait a minute, can we make this into a series? And then they're trying to cram too much in. It just doesn't fit right. It was a little, it threw me off
a little
bit.
Well, you can use Hunger Games as a template, too. And when we talk about social commentary, you don't just have the social commentary in the real world that we live in, but the social commentary in the dystopian world that they live in, which I also pointed out to the nice lady with the clipboard. It's the most plausible dystopian film I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. Like, everything that you see, kind of the technology and the way society lives, you could see that happening. Nothing's super far-fetched.
There's no hoverboards or flying cars.
You don't have to suspend
a
ton of disbelief, like, I don't think it's a spoiler. There's taxi cabs, and the taxi cabs just have like an LED sign on.
Yeah.
Like it looks a little futuristic, but it's not crazy.
Yeah. So overall, would you guys say this is theater worthy, or would you say wait for the download? What would you recommend, Mike?
Well, I'm always an advocate for the theatrical experience. I think we had a blast with it on the big screen. I think, as I predicted, the sound design is like the sixth cast member.
Yes.
Like all the explosions and all the other, there's some really cool stereo effects and things like that. And I think that immersion begs to be experienced theatrically.
That's, I would agree with you. Me. As we discuss all the time, it's a real movie made for real movie theaters.
Yeah, yeah.
Zach, what'd you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Same lane as Mike. This is a movie meant for the theaters. It's not like some of those streaming movies that we go see in the theater and go, yep, nope, that should be on the TV. That belongs where they're going to put it. This belongs where they have put it, in the theater.
Yeah. Now, Mike, as the only one who's read the book here, does this kind of ruin the source material for you? Does it enhance it? Do you like the interpretations here?
I like the interpretation of it, because what's happened is now our actual dystopia has caught up to the far-flung future of 2025 as depicted in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So it is 2025 in the original novel, which I think Stephen King wrote in like the early 80s, maybe late 70s. I don't remember when it was published. I came to it as a teenager as part of like a compendium with like the Bachman books and stuff.
Yeah.
He wrote this under the Richard Bachman pseudonym. Incidentally, tons of Stephen King references.
He wrote it in 82. It was published in 85.
Got it. So it's interesting like how far ahead it was, because like you said, Zach, it's the most plausible for how prescient it was. And I think some of the best science fiction does that when it doesn't push too hard, like when we get like flying cars and hoverboards and things like that. Like, but I also like that this movie has a lot to say about reality television and influencer culture and even like YouTube culture and stuff. Like there's like a whole ribbon running through it of like, you know, talking like reviews and YouTubers and vloggers and all that other stuff. There's also a lot of that subculture that didn't exist then, that didn't exist in 1987 with the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, that exists now, that can add into the extra satire and social commentary. So, I mean, I think the three, the original movie, the book, and this are kind of like three different expressions of the same type of thing. So if you're asking me, go experience all of it And then that way you can kind of feel for yourself what the best interpretation of this. But as a fan of the book and as the fan of the original movie, I dug it, and I'm eager to go back.
I actually have the book on order and hoping to read it this weekend for the first time ever. Mike and Zach, thank you so much. You can go see The Running Man in theaters right now, directed by Edgar Wright, starring Glenn Powell. Go see it right now in theaters for the maximum experience. We got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues. You're listening to The Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.